Dr. Walker, from what you've seen on tape and heard, what do you think was used in this attack?
I think for certain it's some type of a nerve agent. We're not quite sure yet of the nerve agent, but from all the reactions of the victims and the patients, it shows all the symptoms of some type of nerve agent. The only nerve agent that we're aware of that Syria or has been used in Syria that Syria has used is sarin. It could be Soman, could be VX, it could be sarin, very definitely, and that's what was used, of course, in August of 2013, in the Ghouta eastern Damascus attack, when over 1,400 people were killed.
There has been some speculation that chlorine may have been used. Do you think that's a possibility?
You know, it could always be a possibility too, but I think the symptoms with foaming at the mouth, pin pupil eyes, all sorts of respiratory issues and the like, seem to be much more serious than chlorine. There's a complete collapse of the body with nerve agents, and nerve agents work extremely quickly within minutes, whereas chlorine takes much, much longer. It is mostly a respiratory issue, whereas nerve agents attack the nerves in the body, and the body within 2, 3, 4 minutes with a good dose of nerve agent will just completely collapse, including the heart and the lungs. So I think it's probably, from everything I've seen so far, and of course it's still early as well, it's probably nerve agent. And that's very, very serious in a whole number of ways.
Who is actually there on the ground in terms of an independent NGO or other international body who may be able to establish exactly what's been used?
You know, the only people when these attacks happen, of course, because we don't know when and where they will happen, are the local emergency responders. And there's a very good, non-governmental organization called White Helmets, which received the Right Livelihood Award, the Alternative Nobel Prize last year. They're on the ground, I know, and there's probably other physicians groups or even some Red Cross, local Red Cross people. But that's all. Eventually, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, the group in The Hague, which implements the Chemical Weapons Convention, will move in with a fact-finding mission. And I know from their press statement this morning, they're on their way now. They're designed for years to move in very quickly. And Syria, as a member of the Chemical Weapons Convention since 2013, is required to allow these fact-finding missions to go in. So they go in, take samples, interview victims, interview doctors and patients, and do whatever forensic analysis they can of soil and air and water, and then bring those samples back to authorized laboratories to study.
Would you be worried that they may face some sort of obstruction, or are you confident they'd be given free passage?
You know, I think if they're not given free passage, and they have to, that's an obligation of every member of the Chemical Weapons Convention, that'll be an immediate clear sign that the Syrian government is guilty of this. If they are given clear passage, which I expect they will, they have been in the past, in most cases, not all, then I think we'll know for certain at least what agent was used within a few days after the laboratories get to do the samples. And from the victims, we'll know how the attack was made, whether it was aircraft, helicopters, rockets, or some combination thereof.
It appears to have been an aerial attack, on my understanding. So does that prove to you it was, in fact, the Assad regime behind it?
You know, my strong personal leanings are that it's got to be the Syrian government. We don't have absolute proof in all the dozens and dozens of prior attacks over the last four and a half, five years. But I think in almost all cases, it very well appears to be the Syrian government, largely because we've identified forensically both the chlorine, I think, as well as the sarin agent in the Ghouta attack in 2013 with samples taken from Syrian government labs. And also we know that the only combatants there with aircraft and helicopters is the Syrian government along with the Russian government.
The government, though, has tried to suggest that something may have hit a stockpile of the insurgents. Do you give much credence to that explanation?
I don't give much credence to that at all. We've had absolutely no evidence that the rebels are trying to develop or use chemical weapons. We do know that the Islamic State, ISIS or ISIL, has used mustard agent. And the theory is that they've probably hired away some old former Saddam Hussein Iraqi scientist to work with them and build. These have been artillery shells filled with mustard agent. And the Syrian government, we know, has used sarin. They declared sarin in their declaration to the OPCW back in 2013. We know they've used chlorine most recently, and that's been proven by the fact-finding mission and the UN investigation as well in the last 2 years. And there's still more investigations going on. But I think most important now will be that the OPCW fact-finding mission, which is basically a very experienced expert inspector group from the organization in The Hague, will go in immediately within the next 24 hours if they're not there already.
Well, you've visited many chemical weapons stockpiles. How difficult will it be for them to actually find this stockpile, assuming there is one, and work out exactly what was used?
I'm not sure they'll find the stockpile itself, but I do think there'll be very clear forensic evidence. And nerve agents tend to last quite a while. Either the agents themselves or the degraded chemicals from the agents. And you also can find the the bombs or the shells or the rockets or whatever has been used, spray tanks. And the results from that, the forensic evidence, these are things that are wiped down, of course, and then the samples are taken to labs. And the OPCW, of course, shares them with two or three accredited laboratories that go through an annual or semi-annual accreditation. So it's very well done and very credible evidence. And I think once that's done, we'll have a much better sense of what's going on and who made the attack. But I think overall, most people who have worked in this field and are expert in the area would assume it's the Syrian government.
Is this episode then proof that the international community didn't do enough to ensure that Syria did destroy whatever weapons it had in 2013-14?
I know the international community has really tried its best. I've been in many of the meetings in The Hague over the last 4 or 5 years, and over the last 15 or 20 years, actually, but for the Syrian crisis over the last 4 or 5 years. And we know we've removed 1,308 metric tons from Syria. That was all verified heavily by inspectors. That's all been destroyed outside of Syria, except for a few tons in Syria that were destroyed originally. And there's been ongoing inspections, and discussions in Damascus with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons on their original declaration, which requires all states parties to go back to 1946, right after World War II, and declare everything, anything and everything they've done with chemical weapons and a chemical weapons program. There have been public statements from the OPCW and from ambassadors there about what's called discrepancies within the Syrian declaration. And I think this has been an ongoing bit of a pitched battle between Syria, backed by Russia and Iran, and the whole rest of the 192 states parties of the OPCW. So I think most people would not be surprised that something's missing. Something's amiss here. We know the Syrian government didn't declare its major laboratory, which they were required to do under the Chemical Weapons Convention. And there's been fact-finding missions there now. One of the recent fact-finding missions was postponed at the request of the Syrians. We don't know for what reason. And maybe they were producing more sarin agent and have moved it somewhere else to undertake these attacks. Who knows? But I think it's clear to me that if the Syrian government is found guilty of this, this will be a clear violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention, and there'll be major political fallout from this, and this will, of course, escalate the pressure on Syria, the OPCW, and the United Nations to really take them to task and hold them guilty of war crimes.
Well, the UN Security Council is to meet shortly. Can it do anything?
I think it can. We tried, the UN Security Council tried 2 weeks ago to pass a sanctions bill, you may recall, and we were very, many of us, most of us, I think, in the field were very supportive of that. Would have sanctioned the perpetrators of this, the 14 or 15 high-level military commanders in Syria, and would have put trade restrictions and other things on the Syrian government. That was defeated because of the vetoes by Russia and China, who were joined by several other countries, including Egypt, Bolivia, and Ethiopia, if I recall correctly, and I think one or two others. Russia, though, on the other hand, has been very supportive and very verbal about their condemnation of use of chemical weapons. And they've been working for, 20 years or more in destroying their own 40,000 metric tons that they've declared at 7 stockpiles, all of which I've visited over the course of the last 20 years. And so on the one hand, I think it puts enormous pressure on Russia now, as Syria and President Assad's major backer, to really come out and not veto something like this when it's clearly obvious. We may find the Russians and or the Chinese veto this measure today. But in fact, they may say, let's wait until we see the results of the fact-finding mission to really determine, you know, who did it, and take the next steps then. And that will take probably another week or two, I think, of time.
The White House has condemned the attack, but President Trump isn't pushing for President Assad to go. Do you think that emboldens the Assad regime?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, I think we've all tussled with what to do with Syria, really, in the longer run. And I know the Russians and the Iranians in particular are very concerned that if the Assad regime goes away and Assad is, say, given asylum in Moscow or elsewhere in Tehran, what follows therefrom? And these are lessons, you know, we've learned from Libya and Egypt and Iraq in the recent past. But what this does do, I think, if Syria is found guilty of this attack, this really abhorrent, inhumane, illegal attack, it totally undermines further the legitimacy of Assad. And I think any long-term solution that's made, perhaps politically in Geneva, in the Geneva negotiations, will, in a very short time, have to preclude any sort of political role for Assad and all of his friends and buddies.